This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Bill Withers says it's going to be a lovely day. Let us hope so. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. So far, it is a lovely day here. We thank you for joining us. It is Monday, January the 4th. Holy Toledo. It's our first show of the year. By the way, I started on January the 4th here. I think it was 2004, Ed. So if my math is correct, that was 17 years ago. I can't believe I've been around here this long.
Well, you're only 25, right?
Let's be honest, I'm 38. Come on. You know, I used to fudge my age, but no longer. Anyway, it's a delight to be working with you, Ed. For all of the years you and I have been together, I'm trying to think how long we've been together doing it.
Well, I mean, I was here starting in 2005, but I didn't do your show.
That's right.
I think exclusively probably for the last, 4 or 5 years?
At least. Yeah, at least 4 or 5 years. I took a couple of breaks for a while during that period. But it's been a wonderful ride here. It really has been. And everybody here that I've been in contact with, starting with Lola and Ed and everybody else. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about how filing an antitrust suit against media giant Google would be harmful to both consumers and small businesses. So I think you're going to find this very interesting. I'm looking forward to that interview. And the mainstream media, in another outrage about a leaked phone call between President Trump and the Georgia Secretary of State. Was Trump really trying to rig the results when he spoke to him? Well, we're going to get some thoughts on this and some other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, who has entered a new year with us, Andrew Ceraci. So stay tuned for that. And speaking about the media, we're going to be doing one of our two-minute warning stories this morning. And it's going to be about what we call the illegitimate press later in the show. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have an updated version of the top 10 closest presidential elections in history. We did one before, but we're using different criteria this time. I think you're going to find it interesting, so stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best haircutting place in Tampa Bay, in my opinion. And it's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just off of 580 Main Street. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And I wanted to salute Tracy Allen from Good Morning Clearwater. She was on our show last week on Tuesday. Had a wonderful interview with her, and they do a wonderful show Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. So make sure you tune in to them. Also, if you want some great banners or flyers or posters made for your business or yourself or whatever, you can call them. They do that. They do it very well. 727-330-3212. All right. Well, so much going on. I guess every once in a while I go to the Drudge Report. It used to be very conservative. It's an anti-Trump news site these days. And what to my wondering eyes do I see but this story from the Washington Post about President Trump, apparently in a phone call with the Georgia Secretary of State. And if you read the Washington Post, he's pleading with the Georgia Secretary of State to find about 11,700 more votes. You got to, you know, the Post made it look like he wanted the Georgia Secretary of State to create the votes out of thin air. But when I read the transcript, it just said, we won the election. You know, basically, there's got to be a way you can find that out. But the Post, apparently it was a leaked phone call. So who leaked it? Well, the Georgia Secretary of State's people apparently leaked it. And he's a Republican. So now, why is this such a big deal? Why is the Post doing this? Well, they're doing it because what's going on in Georgia tomorrow? We're having an election of two senators, a runoff. If either one of them stays Republican, then the Senate stays Republican. So do you think that this is anything more than coincidental? It certainly is that the Washington Post would run this story. Of course it's connected. They want to make Trump look bad, look evil, and they want to take away votes from the two Republican candidates that are running. And it puts them in a bind, of course, because now the microphones are going to be thrust in their face between now and Tuesday. What do you think about President Trump doing this? Where do you stand on it, you know? And force them to say, well, at the same time that they want Trump's support, force them to say, well, he shouldn't be doing it, or, you know, the election's already been determined, or whatever. It's interesting. Do they ever leak Democrats' phone calls? I'm trying to think of any leaked. Has Biden's phone calls been leaked yet? How about Biden? I'd like to hear some of his phone calls, especially to his beloved son, Hunter Biden.
Wouldn't I was going to say, and to them, Biden laptops don't exist either.
Yeah, that's another thing. The Washington Post is all gaga about this phone call. How many stories have they done on that laptop of Hunter Biden? I don't recall they've done any. Now, maybe they had to do one at some point, I suspect. But between the New York Times and the Post and all the liberal media stations, and they can't. I mean, come on, man. As Biden would say, come on, man. How about being a little honest and fair? But apparently that's out the window now. It's absolutely out the window. We're going to talk a little later about what I call the illegitimate press. The illegitimate press. And we'll use examples of what they actually wrote and how it should have been written. So I think we'll have a little fun with that. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, speaking about the media, we're going to talk about Google and whether or not an antitrust suit coming out of Texas would harm consumers and small businesses.
Like the legend of the Phoenix, huh. All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Hello, Kellyhead, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Golly, 2021. First of all, it's a very hard number to say, Ed. I mean, 2000 was easy to say, you know. And even 2020 was kind of easy to say. But 2021's not easy to say. Do you think that has any bearing on how long it will be remembered? You know, some of those strange numbers, you know, the even numbers like 1900 or 1950, I don't know. What do you think?
I think at this point we can get used to any number other than 2020.
Yeah, that's a very good answer. You are right. Hey, we're delighted to have in our new year, Ryan Young back with us. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about something that is, I mean, it's probably more important than most of us realize, and that is antitrust actions against people or technology giants like Google. And we're going to talk a little bit about an antitrust case from Texas against Google and how it can hurt consumers and small businesses. Ryan, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, if that's even possible.
I know. We're hoping, that this is going to be a brighter new year. I don't think it can be much worse than last year. Let's keep our fingers crossed. So you and Jessica Malugan have written a piece about this antitrust case against Google coming from Texas. I don't know where it is right now. Has it filed this lawsuit already?
Yeah, it's been filed. It's one of three, and then Europe is also piling up. What we're seeing is essentially a pig pile strategy, which is really common in antitrust. They're throwing pasta at the wall to see if any of it sticks.
Pasta, I like that. I always remember there was a guy that we honor here on the show all the time, Milton Friedman, who always said, you know, only the government can create a monopoly. And if you allow the free market to work, no matter how good somebody might get, if you allow the free market to work, somebody else can see how well they're doing, and they can create their own mousetrap. And in the case of Google, who has done, you know, phenomenally well, there are others that are doing the same kind of thing. They just have to work harder at it to get as close to Google as they can, right?
Yeah. In fact, the purpose of antitrust law is to keep that process going. It's about consumer welfare. And that's why I don't think the lawsuits against Google are a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, what do they use? First of all, let's get back to the actual lawsuit itself. So the state of Texas is going to announce or has announced it's filing this lawsuit. They say that Google's advertising platform, the way they run the ads in there, hurts the competition. I'm laughing because I'm thinking, what? And allows Google to fix prices. Does it really allow Google to do price control fixing?
No, it doesn't. If you look at digital ad prices over the last decade, they've fallen by half. So even if every allegation in the lawsuit is true that Google is fixing its online ad auctions, or if it's collaborating with Facebook underneath the table, prices have still gone down by half. They're cheaper than alternatives, and the direction has been going down for a decade or more.
Mm-hmm.
The threshold for enforcing antitrust law is consumer harm. Right now, if you're a small business struggling and trying to get people through the door to sell your product any way you can, it's cheaper to advertise now than it was a decade ago. That's good for small businesses. It's good for their advertising clients. It's good for consumers. And really, what we're going to see in these antitrust lawsuits is they won't be able to prove consumer harm, so they're going to move the goalposts. They're, like I said, about throwing pasta against a wall. That's what they're going to have to do. They're not going to win a case on consumer welfare grounds, so they're going to argue that, well, antitrust law has always been about this, but now we want to make it about other things. We want to say that big is bad in and of itself, and that should be a punishable offense.
Yeah, and you know, that mantra, you are right, the mantra of it's so big that we got to somehow deconstruct it, disassemble it. You get that out of the mouths of a lot of politicians these days. So looking at what, you know, the real reason behind why Texas is doing this, is it really because of politics? I mean, there's always been this contention that, you know, places like Google and maybe Facebook and Twitter and all of that are really like liberal, you know, run by liberal monarchs that can then bend the political landscape to their desires. So is this a political thing?
It's very political. Ken Paxton is the Texas Attorney General who's in charge of this. He clearly has his eyes set on higher office. But he's also got some other things going on, such as a bribery scandal where he was accused of his own staff of taking bribes to the point where seven of those staffers resigned in protest. Paxton has been heavily involved in several other high-profile lawsuits. It's really...
Wow.
It's almost like it's not about Google in some ways. It's about himself.
Wow.
And that's a very common theme. You have lawyers in these cases who aren't as interested in the case as they are maybe getting a job at a white shoe law firm that pays very well. You see attorney generals who have their eyes on higher office, judges who might want to have their eyes on that next appointment in a higher court. That's a very common dynamic in antitrust law.
Wow. Boy, the plot thickens, as they say.
Yes, it does.
The more you find out about this. We're talking with Ryan Young, senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. It's an organization always on the lookout for the best interests of business. We're so happy that they are around, you know, doing these kinds of things. So, I mean, what is the chances they're going to do anything to Google? And, like, what is the timetable or the procedure here?
The timetable is going to be over the next several years, and the likelihood of action happening is very difficult to tell. It could end up like the Microsoft case where it drags on for several years and then ends essentially a draw where no action was taken and then the issues at hand essentially became technologically obsolete. Same thing happened in the IBM case back in the 80s. But because they're trying to move the goalposts, they can't prove consumer harm. So trying to say it needs to be about, well, companies can only be so big before we have to take action. We have to fight inequality. We have to promote democracy. Republicans have their grievances about media treatment, some of which I share. The case is going to be either about consumer welfare or it's going to be about those other things. We don't know how the judiciary is going to treat this case, if they're going to treat it as an antitrust case or they're going to shoehorn those other issues in. And that is the big question that's going to be settled over the next couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. You know, every time I've ever heard about trying to, you know, about some company getting so big and then they are taken to court. You know, it happened to Microsoft in many ways, you know, with their search engines and the like, as in they are stifling competition. If it's in the free market and people are making their own decisions about whether to use or not to use a particular product, I've often wondered if there should even be such things as antitrust. I mean, if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, isn't antitrust in the eye of the beholder as well?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are asking, how big is too big? What's the right size for a company? The correct answer is we don't know. And I don't have faith that Donald Trump or Joe Biden or some politically appointed judge is going to have the answer to a question that nobody knows the answer to.
Right.
It's enforced by the government we have, not by the government we want. We have to keep that in mind as we pursue these cases.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would buy into the idea that, let's say you wanted to type in a political figure, say Trump, and all of a sudden the first 10 stories that show up, you know, on Google, of those 10, maybe 8 of them or something, or 7 of them are negative. And then let's say you typed in Biden, and the same thing, but it's the other way, right? And so people go, see, Google is directing you towards the kind of stories that they want you to see. And I say to myself, well, okay, so what? Why can't they? They're in the free market. Can't they do that? And the people will say, well, because they... It's like being on the airwaves of the internet, because they have a certain responsibility to try to be 50-50 and blah, blah, blah. So I guess I throw that out there to you, Ryan. Don't they have a right, if they wanted to skew what you are seeing?
Yeah, it's theirs, but there's also what I call the dozen keystrokes argument. It's not difficult to type in Bing.com or DuckDuckGo.com, right, or an outlet that you know of that has the kind of perspective that you're looking for. It's not difficult, and there's nothing Google can do to stop you.
Right. That's my point, that you, because it's in the free market and there are others like Bing and a few of those others, there was one, wasn't there one called something like Jeeves or something? I don't know if it's still around. It was an early version.
Apple's actually building one, which cuts against one of the core arguments in the Google antitrust cases. Google actually pays Apple as much as $12 billion per year in order to make Google the default search engine for its iPhones and other devices. It does that in order to prevent Apple from building its own competitor, because you have to be, it's very capital intensive, you need to be a big company to build a search engine. Despite that $12 billion in payments, Apple is still building their own search engine right now.
Really?
I don't know when it's going to go live, but it's in development right now. And that undercuts another major argument that's been being made in the case.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, it's still the brave new world, isn't it? The internet, it's still the Wild West, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
It hasn't settled down.
Apple does it better.
Huh?
Yeah, Google does not control the search market. You and I do. Consumers do.
Right.
We're in charge. If Apple does it better, they're going to get the market share.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm wondering, ultimately, Texas, they're going to take this to what kind of a court, do you think? And is it something, do you think, that will end up in the Supreme Court?
Too early to tell. There are three separate lawsuits. Texas is going to go to federal court. There's another state lawsuit over other issues. And then there's a federal lawsuit. Some of those might be combined. Some of them might be dropped, especially given Attorney General Paxton's legal troubles. That's all to be determined probably in the next 6 months to a year.
Ah, well, this is going to be very interesting and important, too. I mean, if Texas succeeds in calling this an anti, you know, what happens to Google? Are they then able to kind of come in and start disassembling Google? Or, you know what I mean? Once you get in the slippery slope of getting inside, the government's getting inside of a business like this, you never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, the Google lawsuit's pretty vague on that. They know what they're complaining about, but they don't really have a solution on hand. With the Facebook lawsuits that were filed, they actually are explicit in saying they want to break up the company.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. Ryan, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and I hope that we'll talk soon. Down the road, maybe as this whole thing progresses. So a happy new year to you, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. Happy new year.
All right, sir. Ryan Young, very interesting. Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, the mainstream media, in an uproar about a leaked phone call between Trump and the Georgia Secretary of State, we'll get some thoughts on this and some other things with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi. You wasn't looking for a pretty face.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. I can't get over this story about, I guess she pronounces her name, Hilaria Baldwin. Alec Baldwin's wife, talking about her Spanish heritage, when indeed she was born in Boston and may not have a drop of Spanish blood in her. What do you think about that? It was really, what's going on there, do you think?
Maybe she was born on the Spanish part of Boston. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. But maybe apparently she has this affected...
Maybe the hospital was called Santa Maria Hospital.
Well, there you go. She has this affected Spanish dialect that every once in a while... is it an insecurity issue, do you think? Now Billy Baldwin, who, by the way, is Alex's younger and more conservative brother, Billy Baldwin is kind of defending Alec, as he kind of as a brother would defend another brother no matter what, you know, but it's got to be awkward.
That whole family's been dropped on its head a few times.
Yeah, right, well, maybe that's true. Who knows? All right. Well, we are delighted to have both of the Sorese brothers. Now, I don't know that they were dropped on their head a couple of times. I think they're both very normal, but we've got Andrew, the master barber, who's down here in Tampa Bay, and then we've got Angelo up in beautiful Rochester, New York. Well, welcome to you both. Happy New Year to you both. I'm so delighted to have you on. We got this thing going. I guess I read about it on Drudge Report last night. All of a sudden, there's a leaked phone call, another leaked phone call involving Donald Trump, this time the Georgia Secretary of State. Andrew, have you read about this? What is going on?
Well, don't you think it's pretty disgusting when you sit there and have a Republican that leaked the phone call? Okay, is the president to this guy supposed to be confidential? This just tells you how deep the deep state is, Paul.
Yeah,
I mean, look what's going on in Georgia to begin with. You got Stacey Abrams and her sister Leslie, who's the judge, messing with what they can do with the votes and everything. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know how Stacey Abrams' sister can in any way be connected with Stacey Abrams and this situation with vote counting. I do not understand how that works. That it seems a clear conflict of interest.
Well, Paul, everything in this whole election has been a whole conflict of interest, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Then why stop now?
So apparently Trump gets on the phone, and this is the Georgia Secretary of State himself must be leaking it, right?
Well, it's him or his office people, one of the two.
Well, even the way that if you read the text, the way the Georgia Secretary of State is responding to Trump, it sounds almost like he knows he's being taped. You know what I mean?
Of course, Paul. The guy was involved with it. He's trying to save his own rear end.
Yeah.
So he figures by leaking this here, he can get him off of the hot seat, you know?
Yeah. So the Washington Post, of course, no leaks from, never a leak from Biden's phone calls, but the Washington Post makes a huge thing out of this, how timely it is right before the Georgia elections tomorrow. Angelo, are you following the story? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'm sure that this is all leaked in conjunction to the election tomorrow in the runoff in Georgia. It's all, it's all politics is what they're doing. They're trying to sway the election again.
Yeah.
And the Washington Post is notorious. They've been against President Trump from the day one. And, and these leaks are just trying to get Trump more in trouble and trying to influence the election and on the runoff tomorrow. Yeah,
right. Since we haven't spoken to you in a little bit of time, Angelo, first of all, how's things in Rochester regarding the pandemic? Are things getting any better up there? What's going on also with the governor of New York? Is he going to be, is there any way of, they're thinking of recalling the governor of California. Do you think they might recall the governor of New York?
I don't think there's any law for a recall in New York State.
Right.
But yeah, the numbers are climbing, in Rochester, Monroe County, we're one of the hot spots.
Oh,
and our numbers, the other day there was like 800 cases, then 600, and, it just keeps going up and everything like that.
Yeah.
And a surge,
So, I guess you're waiting for that vaccine and hoping, and any idea?
I'm hoping, yes. I'm waiting for the VA to give me a call so I can get the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Now, is it already in the... in the immediate vicinity, do you know what I mean? Are the vaccines already been, have they been?
Oh, yes, they are. They're working on the nursing homes here in Rochester and everything, yes. And the first responders and the people, in the hospitals, the nurses and the doctors.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like good news. So, Andrew, we're going to, I guess it's the same thing down here in Florida. There's going to be the nursing homes and a lot of people will be taking it. I know you're not comfortable taking the vaccine at this point. But are we on our way? Are we coming out of the fog of this, we come into the new year?
First of all, I'm tired of even discussing about this so-called virus. I think we do nothing but waste time talking about it when there's other things going on in this country that need to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
How come the news media, there's a renowned neurosurgeon in West Palm Beach, Florida. His name is Dr. John R. Robertson. Did you know that Joe Biden had two major brain surgeries? Okay, at one time he had a broken blood vessel in his brain. His skull was loaded with fluid. According to Dr. John R. Robertson, and you can look this man up, with his article that he had about Biden, he's basically saying he's a refried bean.
Really?
How come the news doesn't publish this, Paul?
Well, I do know, and I remember, I think we've also discussed it here on the show, that Biden did have some issues. I don't think it got into the what you're saying is,
But you need to research Dr.
Yeah.
John R. Robertson.
Okay.
You'll be very impressed with what he's got to say
sure.
about Mr. Joe Biden.
And he's a Florida surgeon,
he's
is he?
He's from West Palm Beach. He's a well-renowned neurosurgeon.
I'm writing it right down as we speak. I will look him up, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, Paul, what else is amazing? Okay, I saw a thing this morning I thought was pretty great, because only in America, with football, okay, if there's a call made that people are questioning, they run out with the measuring chain.
Yep.
They take 15 different looks at the play from 6 different angles to make sure that the play is okay.
Yeah.
How come they don't do that with the presidential election?
Yeah.
Who the hell cares about football when this country is falling apart?
Well, you make a very good point. And
It's the same thing, like Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, and several Republican senators are challenging the electoral college votes.
That's right.
You got like 10 former secretaries of defense, saying that this is against democracy, blah, 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 this and that. How come nobody was around saying anything when the Russia collusion was going on? Nobody stepped in to say anything there.
And they're going to challenge the electoral vote. Technically, there, as you just mentioned, there's several Republican senators and congressmen that are going to do this.
Which they should. They should actually challenge it.
And then they will take a vote on each of these, you know, results, I guess. I think it's going to do nothing more than delay. But, you know, there is a lot. I'll tell you what. And going back to the every angle videotape of a football field thing, as Andrew talked about, I think in a way you're right, Andrew. And when it came to those precincts where they were counting the votes, why can't they set up? I've always thought that videotapes, you know, if they put them on police now with little cameras, I think they should be in search. I think they should be in surgeries. I think they should be videotaping all of the work that is being done, and certainly in precincts where they're counting votes.
You know, Paul, this week you're going to see what's going to be happening in this country, okay? First of all, if I was members of Congress and Senate, remember, there's only 535 of them, mm-hmm. and 80 million of us.
True.
Okay? If they keep playing their games the way they're playing, I'm telling you, it is the demise of the Republican Party. All right, and you might see Trump take over the Libertarian Party with 80 million followers. Okay,
now that would be interesting.
Okay, you want to see the Libertarian Party go anywhere? Well, this might be the chance of it. Does Trump? He goes for less government, doesn't he?
But the only thing is, he's not a Libertarian. He spends money like a drunken sailor. That Libertarians would not spend money like Trump. Trump is a populist. And this is why I think he appeals to unions. Blue-collar men and women, because, you know what I mean?
But, Paul, I'm telling you, you're going to see with this rally in Washington tomorrow, people are fed up. Like I've seen pictures of caravans of people driving there.
Look at
the mayor of Washington, D.C., trying to get the hotels to close down and the stores to close down to keep the people from coming. Well, I got news for him. There's coming. And realize there are only 535 of them, and if I was them, I wouldn't turn my back on anybody.
Yeah, no, I think there's going to be a huge turnout.
And I'm telling you, Paul, this government is going to be taken over. Enough is enough. Voting doesn't work anymore, Paul. We know that. These elections are rigged. People cheat. They're doing everything they can to get their power. They got big money backing them.
Yeah.
People are fed up.
Angelo, are you as frustrated with this as your brother is?
Absolutely. I really am. I mean, that mayor in the District of Columbia there, why did she close the places down when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were rioting and protesting?
Right. Yes.
I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. She is such a racist, it's unreal. And nobody reports it. You know, as they say, there's white racists, there's also black racists, too. And nobody ever, you know, questions anything like that.
So
why?
Do you think that the mayor of Washington, it's a female, black female. You think she's a racist, as in because she wants to stifle people that are coming in? Well, the people that are coming in may not be all white, of course. So it's just more anti-Trump, isn't it, than anti-white?
Well, probably more anti-Trump. Yeah, I should say that, probably.
Yeah.
More anti-Trump than anything else.
Right.
But the thing is, if you're anti-Trump, then why didn't you close things down for Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
Or Antifa? Mm-hmm. I mean, people can see that. If people can see this is anti-Trump, you know that this election was as rigged as can be.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I just don't get it. Where were these people when all the Russian collusion was going on, like these 10 former secretaries of defense writing a letter? You know, sending it to the Washington Post and this and that. But all you see right now is anti-Trump thing. Poor guy's leaving office and they're just belittling him till the end of the day.
Well, they started belittling him when he came down the escalator when he first announced he was going to run.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And now, just like the Democrats, when they protested the inauguration day, and they were saying, well, maybe Trump will show up. Well, what about your fellow Democrats?
Yeah.
Didn't they do the same thing? So, if I was Trump, I wouldn't even go either. I wouldn't give the right. He won't concede. He shouldn't concede, and he shouldn't show up for the inauguration.
Okay.
I believe Trump is going to hold a rally on that day, just to distract what's going on that inauguration. That's right.
I think he is going to hold one.
Again, Angelo, you were talking about Antifa. Let me tell you, there's Antifa, there's Black Lives Matters, and there's 535 in Congress and the Senate. You know what? They don't equal 80 million. They all better watch their backs at what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, 80 million.
This is not going to be a peaceful year, believe me.
It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad that our country's turning into a third world country by doing what they did during this election. Really?
Yeah. So,
and it's a third world country. When they were calling Russia collusion, when Hillary Clinton started that thing the day that she lost. Mm-hmm. She talks about Trump being this and that. The Democrats talk about Trump being this and doing that. Well, they did the same darn thing back in 2016.
Yes.
The media is not going to give Trump any credit for anything or whatever happened, you know, from 2016 till now.
Did you guys notice this week that Ann Pelosi's house had a little vandalism done, and Mitch McConnell
and the other guy too?
Yeah. They're very lucky that their houses weren't burned down with that minute right now. This is just a taste of what's going to happen. Believe me.
This country
is at war.
By the way, Aunt Nancy apparently won re-election as the Speaker of the House.
She lives long enough. She's 80 years old. She probably got her funeral arrangements made already.
I was going to say, I was wondering if there could be a simultaneous funeral situation. You got to remember, Biden's pretty old, too.
He had two major brain surgeries.
They could both croak on the same day. Then what would we do?
Then we'd only have to worry about Kamala.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about her.
And I don't think that would be any problem, believe me.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, first of all, it is a delight to be speaking with you both in the new year, and just always appreciate your input because it is so interesting and right on target. Thank you both so much. Angelo,
Paul, one other
go ahead.
Quick thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking in your show with the gentleman earlier about Google having this lawsuit
Ryan,
with the small businesses, we don't have to worry about that, Paul. The politicians already hurt the small businesses.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They've done more damage to them than Google could ever dream of.
I don't think there's any question about that. It's because they have no business deciding which businesses should open and which businesses should close, especially from the federal level. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely. They're recalling I think there's a good chance the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, a Democrat is going to be recalled.
That's right, and I got news for you. There's going to be 535 other Congress people and senators being recalled by the end of this year.
It's going
and
to be.
It might not be peacefully like they like.
Wow. Well, fasten your seatbelts, gentlemen. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Thank you both so very much.
Happy New Year.
All right, my friends. Thank you. There they go. Wow. Very interesting. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, we're going to talk about the illegitimate press.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
And again, Happy New Year to all of you. Thank you so very much for listening to us. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Great TAN Talk Radio Network. If you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, every once in a while, we do a little political commentary, and it's usually towards the end of the show. We like to call it the two-minute warning, and we're doing one this morning about what we call the illegitimate press. You know, going through journalism school way back, like I did in the 60s and 70s, there was one ultimate commandment that could not be breached when you presented a story to your readers or your listeners or your viewers. And that was objectivity. Because if objectivity was breached, the story was discarded or sent to the opinion page. Couldn't be on the front page. That ultimate commandment has now been squashed in the press when it comes to politics. I defy you to point to a media source that will present the political news on a regular basis today with total objectivity. Here's an example, and this is straight out of yesterday's Washington Post. Listen to this. This is what they wrote, okay? And then we're going to tell you how maybe it should have been written. Here's what they wrote. A last-ditch effort by President Donald Trump and his allies to overturn the election thrust Washington into chaos Saturday, as a growing coalition of Republican senators announced plans to rebel against Senate leaders by seeking to block formal certification of Joe Biden's victory. The push to subvert the vote is all but certain to fail when Congress gathers in joint session Wednesday to count college votes already certified. Still, Trump continues to press Republican lawmakers to support his baseless claims of election fraud. Okay, that's what they wrote. Here's how it would be without the bias. An effort by Donald Trump and his supporters to reconsider the election results was launched on Saturday as a growing coalition of Republican senators announced plans to block formal certification of Joe Biden as president. Congress will take up Trump's efforts in a joint session Wednesday when they formally meet to count electoral votes. Now, in both cases, the nugget of the story is there, but the Post story has pejorative phrases like last ditch, thrust Washington into chaos, baseless claims of election fraud. Come on. Can you see that? Any kid who wrote that kind of a story back in an earlier day, like the Post did, they'd have been kicked out of their college journalism class. In fact, they'd even be kicked out of their high school journalism class. Ridiculous. Okay, before we get to our top 10, we want to take a moment to remember a dear friend and colleague of ours here at WTAN who passed away on New Year's Eve, Kenny Van Bieber. He was the host of three different programs on TAN Talk, On the Green, the Craft Beer Hour, and up until recently, The Bowling Show. For years, Kenny would proceed and follow my Wednesday Freedom Work show with two of those programs. And I must say, he always found time to chat with me as we both scrambled in and out of the studio. He was always in great spirits with a sense of humor about the events of the day. Bubbly disposition to go along with it. In fact, he made, for me, at WTAN a more enjoyable place to work, and I, for one, will dearly miss him. And Ed, I know you work with him here, and you had some thoughts about him, too.
Yeah, his favorite show was the Dining Out radio show. That was his favorite, but yeah. It's just strange, you know, I just saw the guy, and I see him every Wednesday, and he'd always walk in the door, and he'd say hi, and then, what do you think about them Bucks? They're going to do it, you know. What about the Rays, you know? You know, he knew his stuff when it came to golf and the craft beer stuff and the dining out radio. And he always had the crazy chef on board, Chef Love, and, you know, they were good shows, you know.
Yeah.
I just looked in his folder. He's got shows back to 2013 that we still have. So,
well, we're going to really miss Kenny Van Bieber. Yeah. So, Ed, real quickly, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing who in the playoffs?
The Bucs will go to Washington to play the Washington football team. That'll be Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
And do you think they're ready to roll?
They're ready to roll.
Do you think they have a chance to be in the Super Bowl?
I think this could, I don't know about the Super Bowl. It's going to see where they wind up. But look at it this way. They're going to probably play somebody in cold weather, like Green Bay, and I can't think of a better quarterback to play in cold weather
than
Tom Brady.
Okay. We got to get to our top 10. And these are updated top 10 closest presidential elections. And we're going to look at the popular vote, the electoral vote, and the number of states carried. So here we go. Number 10 was Trump over Hillary Clinton. He won... he lost the popular vote by about 3 million. He won the electoral vote 304 to 227. He won the states 30 to 20. Okay, number 9. John Quincy Adams over Andrew Jackson. He actually lost the popular vote. And, I'm sorry, he won the popular vote. Only 151,000 people voted for him, but only 113,000 voted for Andrew Jackson. Number 8. We got to run on this one. James Polk over Henry Clay. And there was only 26 states at the time. 15 of them won by Polk. Number 7. Grover Cleveland over James Blaine in 1884. And Cleveland just barely eked out number of votes, but really went ahead in the number of electoral votes. Number 6, Benjamin Harrison over Grover Cleveland. Number 5, James Garfield over Winfield Hancock. Number 4, Rutherford B. Hayes over Samuel Tilden. Number 3, Jimmy Carter over Gerald Ford. Number 2, you're really going on those drums.
I'm out of breath.
George Bush over Al Gore. Number 1. John Kennedy over Richard Nixon, where 34,220 to 34,108. Holy Toledo. All right, that's it. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 106.1